Today, as we take a few moments and review our Bible class material over the last quarter. And I'm going to do it differently this time. This time I'm going to do it thematically, and this is the theme: faith is the victory. And the faith that you have as a Christian, it is your victory that you can count on, that you can trust on. Victory over the things in this life, certainly over sin and all the evils of sin, and then over death, eternal damnation, to have a home in heaven. As we begin this morning, turn your Bibles with me over to Joshua. We will be talking about stories from Joshua, Judges, and Ruth this morning and also tonight. And I pulled out the biggest stories that we know the best to reinforce this lesson today: faith is the victory. Courageously trust in God. The faith that you have as a Christian enables you to courageously trust in God. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am going to, which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel." And then in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Because of the faith Joshua had, he led the children of Israel across the Jordan and into Israel, Canaan. And think about this burden that was upon this relatively young man. Certainly he had led Israel in battle, but now he was taking charge not only to lead them into battle, but also to lead them into the promised land and to lead them spiritually as God's spokesman, responsible probably at this time for millions of people. Can you imagine the great weight that would have been upon his shoulders as he, being the single man, was responsible for all of those people? And God tells him over and over and over, "Be strong and courageous." Last time I looked up the word courageous, it's been some time ago, I noticed that it appeared more in this book, Joshua, by far, than any other book in the Bible. Here we learn from Joshua to be strong and be courageous, not because of our own physical or mental strength, but because of our faith in God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. And of course, as we talk about faith and the stories from the Old Testament in these two lessons today, we will refer to this book, to this chapter, as a matter of fact, upon occasion. And in verse 30, as we see the examples of faith throughout this chapter, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And this was the faith of Joshua and all of Israel, to march around the walls of Jericho to do something that made no sense at all. As a matter of fact, militarily was stupid. Because as they marched around the walls, it was so easy for those of Jericho to just stand on the wall and use their arrows to just kill them off one by one. The worst thing in the world would be to approach the wall and to walk around it. But God commanded it, and they did it. And they did it not one day or 2 days or 3 days, but 7 days. And on the seventh day, seven times. They had faith. They were strong. They were courageous. And brethren, this is the faith that you and I have as Christians. This is the faith that is within you. To be this strong in the face of adversity, in the face of trials. Remember Rahab also. Rahab the harlot. Joshua chapter 2 and chapter 6. And remember that the city of Jericho was shut up because they feared the Israelites. But there was one inside who had the faith. The faith to hide the spies and then to send them out away, which would give them the safety that they needed so that they could report back to Joshua and the Israelites. And she was commanded to be saved to do something that was stupid. Out a particular window to hang a scarlet cord. And then to do something even more stupid than that. When the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, she was to remain where? In her house that was on the wall. And here with her household, she would be saved. In doing this nonsensical thing that makes no sense humanistically and is illogical. But she had the faith and she was strong. As the wall is falling down, she remained on the wall. And don't you know everyone else was fleeing? Everyone else was running away, but she was not running away. She had faith. She had courage. She was strong. And then the spies were sent back into the city to get her and to rescue her. And she came out of Jericho. Hebrews chapter 11 and now verse 31. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish. And brethren, you will not perish because of your faith. Your faith is your victory. Because by faith you trust in God. By faith you are strong. By faith you are courageous to do the things which God commands. Even though in the eyes of men they are stupid, they're illogical, they do not make sense. By your faith, you shall not perish. And so, she did not perish with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Rahab and Joshua were leaders. Joshua was a formal leader. He was appointed by God to be a leader. But also Rahab, informally, was a leader. As she led those of her household who believed with her, remained in her house and came out with her, she too was a leader. And brethren, every one of you here are leaders today. You are leaders in this world in which we live. We lead by example the things that we do. We are either leading the immoral to righteousness or participating in the immorality of sin, either one. And brethren, you are leaders. You are leading the immoral to righteousness. You are showing the way. You are a light into the world and salt of the earth. We lead by diligently doing the Lord's work. And the church needs faithful leaders, just as Israel needed faithful leaders. And remember, the Bible tells us that as long as Joshua and that generation were living upon the face of the earth, Israel was faithful, but when they died, Israel sank into apostasy. We too need faithful leaders. We need each person here to be a leader. We need our elders to be good leaders, and they are. We need our deacons to be good leaders, and they are. We need our older people to be good leaders, and they are. I'm so happy our older ladies, some of them are going to be teaching the younger ladies on Monday night. Hope you'll be praying for that. I know the younger ladies are excited about that. And I hope older ladies, those of you who will be doing that and helping with that, that you are excited also. It's a great opportunity and a great privilege. And young people, we need you to be leaders too. We need you to be leaders in this church. We need you to be leaders in your community. We need you to be leaders at school and at work and in your homes. And we need you to grow to be even more leaders than we need you to grow. To be leaders of the congregation. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Indeed, we all have to deal with the things of everyday life. And the Lord has told us in the good way, the proper way, to enjoy the things of everyday life, but we cannot be entangled in them. Joshua was not entangled in them. He had a very difficult job that obviously would take a great deal of energy and a great deal of time. He was strong and courageous to take on that job and those responsibilities. Rahab was not entangled in everyday life as she left her everyday life to be with the people of God. And so you too, as a leader strong in your faith which is the victory, you too cannot be entangled in everyday life. We must be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And then we are more than conquerors. Brethren, you are more than conquerors because of your faith. Conquer the things in this life that perplex you, that want to hold you down. You're victorious over those things. And most of all, you are conquerors over devil and sin and eternal damnation. And victorious in life, everlasting life. Faith is the victory. Be courageous to trust in God. And all of us have had to come out of the world. Come out of the world and be saved. Rahab had to come out of Jericho. She had to repent and be saved. Ruth had to come out of Moab with her mother-in-law, and she was blessed as she apparently repented of any of her past sins and was saved. Both were blessed to be in the lineage of Christ. Rahab bore Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, and Ruth bore Obed, who is King David's grandfather. As for Christians, turn your Bibles back to the book of Hebrews, but now Hebrews chapter 13. We too come out. This morning, as you sit in the audience, you have come out. You have come out of the world. You have come out of sin. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And brethren, because of your faith, you have come out. You've come out of sin. You've come out of the world. You have come into the everlasting city of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and you will live eternally with God in heaven. But remember Achan, and remember his sin in Joshua chapter 7, that because of his covetousness, he took things that were under the ban, a mantle, some gold, and some silver, and he hid them there. And they were not successful as they went to war as God's children because of the sin. And Joshua, in learning who it was who was responsible for these things, asked him to tell them the things which he had done. And although compelled to do so, he does confess his sins and his wrong. Yes, he had to pay the penalty of that. He was put to death. Not only himself, but all of his family were stoned because of his sin. And we too, because of our faith, indeed, we're going to make mistakes. Indeed, we are going to sin. None of us are perfect. That does not excuse the times when we make mistakes and we sin. But because of your faith, you will have the courage to repent and to confess and to pray. That your sins be forgiven. Remember Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, Paul on Mars Hill, all people everywhere must repent. Remember James chapter 5 and verse 16, that we must confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. And if there's anything in the church today that is lacking, it's brethren who are not willing to confess their sin. To other brethren. Certainly because there's shame involved. Certainly none of us want to admit that we are not perfect, that we fall short. But we all do. And so we do not tell our brethren, those who are spiritual, those who are strong, those who can help us. And we fall short of the people we could be. Faith is our victory. Faith gives us strength and faith gives us courage, even in our shame, to confess our wrongs and ask for help. We also learn that there is a result of sin, and that result is sometimes far-reaching. Those of you who are older, I'm sure you've experienced it to some degree, and those who are younger, probably not. But those who are younger, listen up. Learn from Achan and learn from others, there is a consequence for sin. And this consequence oftentimes is in this life, and if we do not repent, the consequence is eternal. And if you can imagine Achan, one, because of covetousness, stole something, hid it in his tent, and then he had to watch his wife and his children be stoned to death. There is a consequence for sin. And we must realize that when we turn away from God and we commit sin, that there is a consequence that must be paid. Sometimes it is far-reaching, further than you would ever expect it to go. But also we learn from Rahab and Ruth that there is a positive result from repenting and turning to God. You see the positive result in their life. When Rahab the harlot came out, and those of her family who would listen, there was a significant result in her obedience in the lineage of Christ. And also when Ruth left her family, her homeland, her friends to be with the people of God, to live in poverty, there was a significant result in that. As she too is in the lineage of Christ. And one who is responsible in part for the birth of our Savior. Indeed, sin has a severe consequence, sometimes far-reaching, but do not forget that when we repent and we come back to God, that that can have a greater effect and result. Faith is our victory. Courageously trust in God, come out of the world of sin, and be holy. Turn your Bibles over to Ruth. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11. Here, as you remember, Ruth had left her homeland. And she had gone with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Bethlehem. there to live with the children of God as she was in poverty, as she was gleaning in the fields, trying to have something to eat for herself and also for her mother-in-law. And as she begins to develop a relationship with Boaz, whom she would later marry, in chapter 30 and verse 11, Boaz says this, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence, a virtuous woman." And here we learn the lesson that we must be virtuous, we must have a good reputation, and that if we do, we will receive blessings here upon this earth. The greatest reputation, the greatest blessing of all is to be a Christian and to live forever in heaven. So working hard to have a good name, to have a good reputation is very important, and that it profits much. Also remember the children of Israel in Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Here is God promises them that He would bless them in their obedience. If they did not turn away from Him, that they would be a holy nation, and indeed they were. As Moses led them, as Joshua led them, as they entered into the promised land, they were holy, set apart for God and His service. But we too, as Christians, need to remember some lessons, and that is that we too are to be holy. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 15. "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all of your behavior," your translation may say conduct, "because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Holy represents the sanctity of deity, therefore anyone in a right relationship with God. Brethren, you are holy today. You are holy. Because of God, because of God, what God has done for you, because of your faith which is your victory, you are holy as God is holy. And turn your Bibles over to chapter 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." As you sit in the pew this morning, you are holy. You are set apart. You are part of this chosen people of God, a holy priesthood. And in everything that you do, every place that you go, every word that you utter, every glance of the eye that you give, you are to be holy in each and everything that you do. How do we remain holy? Back to chapter 1, look at verses 13 and 14. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." Brethren, we must prepare our minds. Indeed, we have been preparing them today. But it does not stop when we are assembled together and we leave this place and we go home. It's every day of our lives. We are preparing ourselves and we are preparing our minds for our service to God. Verse 13, "Keep sober in spirit." Keep sober in spirit. Remain wise in the things that you are doing. Do not be carried away with the foolishness of this world. Chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him." To prepare ourselves and to remain sober, we humble ourselves and we pray to God and we cast all of our problems upon God. Faith is the victory. As we cast them upon God, for God cares for us, humbly willing to accept God's decision for our life. In whatever state it is that we are to live, we must humble ourselves and subject ourselves to God. Even if we were to be some of the most poorest and impoverished I hope you were struck this morning by the fact that we sent some benevolence, and the man who received it could not even cash the check. And we can go to a bank down here and we can easily cash the check and probably have a lot more money in our accounts than those poor people do, and that man does. Probably all of us here could go and cash the check ourselves. Just take the money, our very own money. And here he's got to travel a long distance. How poor are those brethren? And here sometimes we're unwilling to live in the most minor discomforts and not satisfied. With reasonable wealth, we must humble ourselves and cast our cares and our anxieties upon God, having the mind that I'm satisfied and I will be happy and I will be content whatever God decides. That's truly the beginning of happiness. Through our faith, that is our victory. Victory over our problems. This is the key. And back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he says one more thing. Indeed, we are to prepare our minds, we are to be sober in spirit, and we are to fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Faith is the victory. Faith gives us the ability to fix our hope completely. What do you want in life? What do you care about in life? What is important in life? And once we have our hope fixed completely on that, nothing else matters. If we have a little bit more money in the bank, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine. If we're married, if we're single, doesn't matter. If we have a very prestigious job or a very lowly job, it doesn't matter. Because my hope, my goal, my aim is fixed completely on the grace that I will have when Jesus Christ is revealed. We've talked about that a number of times, and we did last week when Jesus Christ appears in the sky and all the saints of all ages are there with Him. That's what I want. And quite frankly, just don't care about much of anything else. Work hard. Do the best we can. Enjoy the blessings. Use them well. But don't care about them. Don't care about them. As God's holy children, 1 Peter again, chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Notice this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. We have a living hope, not a dead hope. Our hope is not in things that pass with time, that moth and rust destroy, but it's living, it's eternal, it never passes away. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith. Faith is the victory. As holy children of God, to have this inheritance imperishable, waiting, reserved for you in heaven. When you account to all the blessings you have, do you count that one? When you think about the things you don't have that you're striving for, and you get down and you get depressed, and perhaps angry, happens to all of us. Do you think about that inheritance and think about the great value so that the other things just don't matter anymore? The power protected by the power of God through faith. And brethren, you are protected by the power of God because of your faith, and therefore your obedience to the faith. Look at verse 22. Since you have an obedience to the truth purified your souls, your soul is purified because of your obedient faith. For sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And then verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Faith is the victory. You've been born again by the imperishable seed, the Word of God. Faith is the victory to courageously trust God, to come out of the world of sin, and to be wholly protected by the power of God, to have an imperishable, unfading inheritance. Brethren, that is the faith that you have. And I encourage you to make it stronger day by day. Day by day. Three more points I want to bring up tonight. I look forward to studying those with you this evening. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. We're going to sing number 300. Faith is the victory. If you are not a Christian this morning, or if you are unfaithful to God, you're not victorious. You're not winning the battle, you're losing the battle. And if you don't repent before leaving this life, you will have lost it for eternity. But today you can win it, because faith is a victory. Because of your faith in God, you can obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the Son of God, and being baptized into Christ, and your faith will make you victorious today. You will have the inheritance reserved for you in heaven today. Today. And you will be victorious because of your faith. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you're not faithful to the Lord, won't you change that today? And won't you let us help by coming to the front as we stand and sing?